You're listening to the Better Man Podcast, a No Deadbeat Society project, www.wearebetterman.com. This is officially episode 004 of the Better Man Podcast, aka the We Are Better Man Podcast with Steve Tillman and Leyland Diano. I'm the host with Leyland Diano. And of course, y'all know my, by now, if you've been listening, you know my co-host, Steve Tillman. We got a great episode today. Been working on it for a little bit. I'm pretty excited about it. So I think what we'll do is let's just jump right into the first interview, and that's with Dino Ray. Dino Ray, if you listen to hip hop and especially Eminem in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, you know Dino Ray. She sang on a plethora of Eminem songs, including Superman. So if you remember that Superman track, she was the female vocals on there. She toured with Eminem and the whole crew. Tons and tons, and she's been up to some independent stuff lately, and a new project with Will I Am. So I reached out to her, and we had a great conversation actually about, you know, what success looks like for her, and what she's up to, and some stuff like that. So it was a great conversation. Let's jump right into it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So let's. You've had an awesome career. You've been doing it for quite some time. You're on some hit records and did a lot. And now you're doing the independent thing. Could you just maybe tell me about like where you're at musically and business wise these days?
Sure. Well, musically, I've kind of taken a step back from being an artist, and I wanted to basically empower myself and go learn how to get another skill set. So Pro Tools and engineering kind of became my best friend in the past 5 years. And what I've been doing is focusing on my writing, engineering, vocal arranging, and basically working with the next generation of talent coming up in the business. You know, it's a different business than when I started and, you know, when I did a lot of the big records that I did. So I basically wanted something sustainable where I was still utilizing my gift, but kind of giving back, you know, and working with this next generation.
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that kind of leads into one of my questions, but you can continue.
Go ahead.
You know, you talked about the state of the industry and how it's a lot different now. And, you know, obviously there's a lot more routes for the independent artists now to get out and distributed. Do you think that, do you think that that's a positive thing or a not so great thing?
I think it's a mixed bag, to be honest. You know, the good thing is that talented people have an opportunity and a platform to get themselves heard without the red tape of record labels and everything. On the flip side, you're also, you know, getting a lot of crap because everyone thinks they're, you know, rappers and artists now too, and they have the internet, you know, as their outlet. So I think it's kind of, you know, I think it's give and take. But I think a lot of good stuff has been coming out, though. Probably a lot more artists that we, you know, normally, you know, 15, 20 years ago would not have been able to come out or surface. You know, I think the internet's definitely, you know, been a good platform for people that normally would not have had the funding or the outlet to, you know, to release music. There's just so many ways to do it now.
Yeah, for sure. What is success for Dino Ray? Like, what is, when you think about success, what is it? How do you define success?
I mean, success is doing what you love and making a living at it. I mean, that's what I think. Living in Los Angeles my whole life, you see people that struggle and fight for their dream their whole entire life. And, you know, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't financially. I think that if you're making money and making a living, doing what you love, that's success in itself. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
so simple.
yeah, it makes perfect sense, right? There's a lot to doing mm-hmm. what you love. So, and I think the last question I'm going to shoot at you is good people in the industry. Now, I was involved a little bit in our local scene a long time ago, and even at the very local, not making a lot of money level, there was a lot of.
Where are you from?
From Vancouver, up in Canada.
Oh, okay, is that where you're calling me from right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So, you know, there was a lot of shitty people, even at like the barely making paying rent level of the music industry. Do you think that, like, how do you surround yourself with good people in what you do? Or does that even matter? Is it just, you know, do you, yeah.
You know, you mean me personally?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm very blessed. I've been in this city my whole life. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. And I kind of came on the scene. I was a dancer. I'm a trained dancer. That's my background. And when I first started doing music and laying hooks for a lot of the local MCs, you know, it's funny because it's kind of come around full circle because I work with Will.i.am's camp now. But that's who I started with when I was 18.
Oh, wow.
With Black Eyed Peas before their commercial success and the Far Side and all those West Coast guys.
Yeah.
And I've just kind of grew up in it, you know what I mean? So it's kind of been organic the way everything is unfolded. Going to Detroit and, you know, working with M and then, you know, New York and doing Milltown and all that stuff, that was just a result and effect of everything and all the seeds that I planted in Los Angeles. So, you know, it just so happens I have these relationships that, you know, that have been nourished over the years. But coming up and being new and not knowing anyone here, that's really tough because, you know, people take advantage of, you know, young, hungry artists, and people always want to make a buck off of you. So I think the key is, like, to really just keep your eyes wide open, educating yourself, understanding the business, reading, asking questions to the people, you know, that you do trust and things like that.
That's awesome. I think that's mm-hmm. it. I mean, I could, like, honestly, as a fan of yours, I could sit here and question you all day, but I won't. So thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you so much. On a side note, I don't know if you're getting
into, like, it was a great conversation. I mean, it's always interesting to talk to somebody who's been around in the music scene for so long and done so much, and she's kind of maintaining that independent business model now, I guess you could say, in terms of, you know, making sure she's got steady revenue streams and things like that. But yeah, so that was a good one. Let's jump right into the Steve's and my bi-weekly conversation. It seems how it's been working out so far. Let's jump into that right away. Better Men, episode 004. Leyland Diano and with Mr. Co-host Steve Tillman. I finally figured out that I can put, like, Leyland Diano / Steve Tillman on everything. So, like, I got Instagram updated. I don't know what the other one was on earlier today. I think it might have been Facebook. And then the podcast should officially start saying Leyland Diano / Steve Tillman.
Oh, man.
Just in case people get confused.
I feel like the bell of the ball right now, man. Like,
I'm yeah, man. It's all about you.
Oh,
nice.
No,
nice.
Man, it's about us.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's about us, and it's about everybody who listens.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. And we're apparently, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, man. Apparently, I'm a little surprised. I mean, I knew that it was gonna get out there a bit with No Debbie Society when we push it out through there, but the amount of listeners we're getting is it's awesome. So.
Everything's good so far. Great. Oh yeah, I want to jump into something because I don't know. This has been on my mind, and I think we figured we'd try some topic based shows, and I think that's a great idea or a great time to start that. So I'm sitting, you know, kids gone to bed the other night. I'm sitting in on my couch. I got the laptop on, messing around with it, and I got a TV show on that I watch on Netflix. I've been watching for some time. It's called The Ranch.
Oh, my favorite. Basically, like, love it.
Yeah, like a That 70s Show reunion, and it reminds me of Small Town Living. I can't get enough of it. And the one line about where the dad, I can't even remember his name, but where he's like, you know, you're gonna end up sitting around eating fucking quinoa, whatever the fuck that is. Like, that's like my life. But yeah. So Buddy comes in, and you know, we're hanging out and talking, and we're watching it, and he's like, dude, haven't you heard what's going on with Danny Masterman? And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, Google it. And I Google it. And the guy's been like under investigation for a year by the LAPD for rape. So yep. Netflix is pulling him off of the show. And I guess they're going to write him out for the new season or whatever they're doing coming up. And I just thought that, like, we, you know, with what we do and what we talk about, maybe we could take an opportunity to talk about the, you know, Me Too was kind of all about these, not just celebrities, but people in positions of power. Basically, 2017 is like the year of bringing sexual assault to the forefront of everyone's mind.
Yeah, man, it's 2017 is allegation season, man. It's been, you know, some of them, you know, I'm not super surprised on. Some of them have blown me away, and it's, you know, I think, as like you said, with our show as men, I don't think we can ignore this topic, because the vast majority of these accusations have been made towards men. And personally, any sort of assault, sexual assault, whether it's man on woman, woman on woman, woman on man, whatever, all makes me sick to my stomach. And it's just been nonstop for the last like 7 months.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think, you know, I'm a bit of a pessimist. So like I found myself at first being like, I hope these aren't false allegations, right? Like, I really hope that this isn't false allegation. Cause like, I think the first one I really heard about was a politician. And then I started realizing like, no, this is all, this is like the industry, not just, so it's like the industry of being wealthy, apparently, or in positions of power. And these guys are just, and I, you know, Louis C.K. or whatever came out, and he's like, you know, I didn't ever force myself on anyone, but I'd like jerk off in front of them or whatever he said he did. And, you know, these women didn't say no, but at the same time, they were like his stage hands or whatever on his show or whatever. So like, you know, I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, if your boss, if you need your job getting fired in your industry, man, you could never get a job anywhere else in that same industry, and your boss pulled something like that on you, what do you do? Like, oh, yeah. it's a problem, man.
Yeah, man. And it sucks because I was in the same kind of mindset. You're like, I hope these aren't false allegations, you know, and at the same time, it's like, you know, man, I hope this didn't happen to these people. Like, these people weren't assaulted. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I hope these allegations aren't fake, because now somebody's life is getting completely ruined over a simple accusation. And the messed up thing is a lot of these haven't even been proven.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, hey, he did this. All of a sudden that guy is enemy number one. He's the bad guy. And it's just, it's running rampant. And now there's allegations starting to come out against women too.
Oh, I hadn't heard that yet.
Yeah, there's been one or two women. One is a politician. The other one, I can't remember what she does, but it's just running rampant. But the common denominator there is people with money and power. So you're kind of seeing this trend of, you know, if these aren't fake, then what are we seeing? We're seeing the corruption of power and money.
Yep. Yeah, it's like broken humanhood, I think. It's like,
oh yeah.
Tons of money and power, but we make these judgments. But I mean, I can't see myself. Like, I mean, I've gone on dates where I don't know, like I kissed the girl on the cheek or something and felt terrible after because I didn't know if she wanted me to kiss her on the cheek or something. I
Oh,
mean, I
yeah.
never not wanted, but
Oh, I lost you, man.
you got me now?
Gotcha.
Oh man, you know what that is? This whole time I get all into it and I put my elbow on my desk and then my elbow hits the button on the mic and it shuts it
Oh.
off. All right. But good thing you're there. But yeah, as I was saying, I just don't know. Like, I can't see myself ever doing that. But it's tough, and I think what it's really doing is it's changing society because it's not no this bull crap is not going to be tolerated anymore. And you know, I've always been an advocate for going to the cops. I realize that the criminal justice system, and it's the same in the States and here. I mean, it's true. A weed dealer gets more time than someone who sexually assaults somebody sometimes. And the system is busted. You know, have women go to the cops and, or men or whoever, children, and it because the criminal law requires you to prove it without a doubt. They often get off, right? So it's a broken system. But I've always advocated like you got to go to the cops. You if the system's not going to change unless we push it and make it change. And
Oh,
I think now what's happened
yeah.
is these people, if there's women, I didn't hear that. I'm gonna have to look that up. Is they're not going to be able to do this anymore because I mean, look at what's his name, Ray Moore or whatever. What's his name, Ray Moore? Yeah,
Oh, Roy Moore.
Roy Moore, the judge, like. I didn't even hear that that guy did anything to these women, but he was obviously a predator because he was preying on underage girls, asking them to go out on dates and stuff, which is creepy. But like that's years and years ago, and they're coming out now. So going forward, these guys aren't going to be able to do any of that shit anymore, which is a good thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's definitely a good thing. And and we go back to people of power. Trump was recorded on a bus in 2014 saying, I'm rich, I'm famous, I can do whatever I want. And then that famous quote, grab her by the pussy, is something he said, and he still made it to president.
You
But
got.
yeah, you got these people who are just no longer gonna be able to get away with this stuff. And I personally think we're gonna end up seeing Trump, having to answer for what he did as well at some point.
Yeah, like, I mean, you got to think about that. And I've thought about it. Bill Clinton cheated on his wife and got kicked out of office, not for that, but for lying under oath. For lying under oath. And then here we have a president who basically claimed that he sexually assaulted someone, joke or not, and he's the president. Like, it's insane. It's
Yeah.
insane.
It's what gets to me is, as we've mentioned before, part of manhood is being a respectable role model to these kids growing up and to even other men who are in bad situations or getting into new situations. And you have people who are supposed to be those that we can always look up to, and they have these certain auras on them. And Trump and Clinton, they have this aura and this reputation of being just dirty and liars. And these guys have been in the highest position in my country, the highest position possible politically. And one's been made to answer to it, and the other one's was handed the keys to the White House.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, that's the thing even about Bill Clinton, right? Like I think like policy wise maybe he was a good politician, but the guy was like he cheated on his wife, man, and lied about it. Like he you know and he's like it's almost like the America has made a hero out of him.
Yeah.
Like it's like a joke. Like they, you know, like you see all these press. I saw this meme and it was like Bill Clinton's the blackest president we ever had or something when all the rhetoric was going out about Obama for stupid reasons. But it's like, I don't think that it's anything to joke about. Like I wouldn't want my kid looking up to that person or Bill Clinton or definitely not Donald Trump and thinking that that's who I want to be. Like something's gone haywire, man.
Yeah, definitely. And as a dad, the way it impacts me personally, I have a daughter, and the thought that my daughter one day has to go into this world where she's in a position to keep to either get a job or keep a job, and she may come face to face with one of these scumbags. And that's frightening to me for multiple reasons, obviously for her safety, but also what I may have to do if I find out it happens.
Exactly. Like I don't even know, man. Like that's when you know, like we advocate for not being violent and stuff like that. But if the system's broken and someone takes advantage of someone you love, like It's crazy, right? Like, I mean,
Well, yeah,
I don't know. It's unimaginable
yeah, I mean,
how to deal with that.
you can't say how you'll be until you're in that position. And I pray and hope and pray that nobody has to go through that. But when I just start thinking about it, I get so heated thinking about like,
Yeah.
if even 1% of what's happened to some of these ladies out there happens to my kid, I don't know what I'll do in that situation.
Yep.
But on the flip side too, like you have a son, and now we might have a generation where men will have to tiptoe and have to, be careful because, he may never do anything wrong to a lady, but now this lady is offended because of something at the workplace or whatever, and now they have this loaded gun they can pull out any time and say, well, he did this.
Yep. Yeah,
And
no.
so it's a double-edged sword. It's scary.
No, for sure. And I mean, that's the thing is like, there's far more actual sexual assaults and rapes than there are false allegations. But when you see someone go through a false allegation, even if it doesn't go to the law, the authorities, but it's just an accusation. And, I've seen it in my community where someone was accused before, and not even like on public blast, but just within a community of people, it can destroy a man. And I'm sure a woman too if it happened, but I've only seen it happen to a man. But it, like it's it can do horrible things to a guy's mental health. And it's, I guess, like you said, it's what offends people and what doesn't. And I guess you just have to be careful now. But like you said, the flip side to even that is that we got to raise our boys now to be nothing but respectful. Like we got to go back to those old things of, you hold the door for a lady, you always wait for a lady, you're courteous and respectful always to your elders, like that type of mentality. And that applies to both boys and girls. But
Oh,
then at
yeah.
the same time, we can't be like, well, you got to court a girl, because you could very easily see courting as harassment now sometimes, right?
Oh,
Like,
yeah. It's one of the, and see what's hard with that though, with I can't say it's hard, but we gotta raise our young men to be respectful of women and treat them with respect and dignity. But and I hate to sound, oh man, I kind of feel like I'm about to sound like my dad or grandpa, but unfortunately, our culture doesn't breed that type of manhood. And I'm not blaming music or video games, but you watch TV and you listen to some of the music out there and even some of the video games, and you see where like in Grand Theft Auto, you have missions where you have to go capture a hoe, or some of the music out there is nothing but bitch this, hoe that, bitch this, and it's. So, it's, but you can't just shut your kid away either, lock him in a closet till he's 20 and say, okay, now go out and be respectful either. So it's, but it's just it's creating a volatile environment that I feel like if it keeps on the way it's going, it's going to end up being a lose-lose all the way around.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. And I think, like, it's funny because I do a lot of reading, and when it comes to the men's rights movement and feminism, mostly neos on both sides, because how can you really be against feminism? It's just about equality, so you can't really be against that.
Right,
But
well, true feminism is.
yeah, exactly. But the neo on the far sides of each of the spectrum, I don't see them complaining or tweeting Nicki Minaj when she's talking about what she's doing and how she gets treated by men sometimes in her
Oh, yeah,
music.
exactly.
It's just promoting the fact that it's a woman who's made it. And it's like, but look at the message.
Yeah,
Like,
like
this is
she.
not a good message.
Yeah, she flaunts that she made it because she has a big booty and this and that, and yeah, and then on the far side of the guys' rights, you have guys that they don't tweet out about the men that talk about slapping their woman around, or yeah, I got
Exactly.
her drunk and did this to her. It's yeah, it's you got the extremes on both sides, and it's tough, man. It's a scary teeter totter, and you just want to keep it balanced, but it's almost impossible to do.
It's crazy. And I think, I don't know if every generation went through it, or I think it's maximized now because of things like social media, and our kids are
Oh
exposed
yeah.
to all this stuff at such a younger age.
Well, yeah, you have this flow of information now. When something
But
happens and hits the news, it can go from a local news story in like rural Montana, and the next thing you know, it's been seen by like 10,000 people in every country in the world. in a matter of hours, where it used to be newspaper to bigger newspaper to bigger newspaper to local channel, now it's hit the share button, put $5 into that post, and now 100,000 people have seen it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I mean, even news outlets, I mean, we're straying a little bit off the topic, but I think it's good. News outlets aren't after communicating news anymore. And I'm not all about the fake news thing, because I see this on both sides.
Oh yeah.
Is they're after the click. It's clickbait, because
Oh yeah.
that's how they make money. You click through to their site. They have a monetization model on their website where they get paid by how many ads are seen. And that's what it's all about. And
Oh yeah,
it,
it's bad, man. Being a local politician where I live, it was ran that I'm going to be running for Congress, and that news story did okay, but then when people started calling me a Nazi because I have a shaved head, that page, that article went from a couple hundred views and likes to, it got like 10,000 views in like 2 days, because it went from a positive message to this guy could be a racist. Let's go ahead and shine light on this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is you look at the headline. It's, let's look at two headlines it could be for you. Guy who's in a wheelchair, who has beaten a lot of odds, is running for office, or guy that possibly is a neo-Nazi is running for office for the Libertarian Party. The latter one's going to get the clicks, because we're just humans, and we're stupid sometimes, and we're attracted to things that are dumb, right?
Oh yeah, but so circling back to this, these accusations of sexual assault. We were talking about the negative impacts it can have on men's health, and mental health. There's a politician, I believe in Ohio, who was accused, and he ended up taking his own life on one of the main bridges in the city. And in his suicide letter, most psychiatrists say, if somebody's guilty of something, when they kill themselves, they'll get it off their chest in writing, and then they'll take their life. And in his letter, he completely denies everything and says, I've done nothing but love my wife and family, and these accusations came out of nowhere. And he's like, I don't want to put my family through these allegations. I don't want my family to suffer through this. I'm just going to end it.
Jeez.
And that's rough, And I can't tell you if he did or didn't do it. I don't think anybody can at this point, but the fact that it would drive somebody, if he really didn't do it and he had his family's well-being in mind, and unfortunately, depression and things like that can have that effect where you just think, I can make one difference and just end it all and be done with it. And it obviously causes more harm than good. But that's the kind of thing that I'm afraid we're going to start seeing, especially if more false allegations come out.
Yeah, I mean, here there was a local DJ. These basically we have a nightclub scene, and there's a bunch of local DJs, and they probably make a decent living. A couple DJs created this list on Facebook, and it was the Raper DJ list or something. And they listed like a bunch of Vancouver DJs. And then what they did was, they girls would reshare it, and they put like an X beside their name on the list if they had been raped by them. So this
Wow.
list was circulating. One of the DJs killed himself. And I mean, I don't know if they did. My biggest concern with it was that, because the police weren't gone to first, these guys weren't, this guy and whoever else was on the list, weren't prosecuted. Like, they if they did these things, that's horrible, and they're criminals, and they should be served time, and be have a criminal record, and have to go through life like that or whatever. But he just killed himself because all they were doing was circulating it on Facebook.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, we get it, and it's, no, you don't know until you've gone through it. And it's, from what I understand, even just talking about it can bring out horrible things for these women. But if there's no, if we have to advocate for women to feel safe with our police, even if the police suck and the law sucks, we have to advocate for them to at least feel safe in those spaces, so that we can encourage them to go there,
Oh yeah, and not only that, we definitely have to encourage them to feel safe and to go to the police. And and same with guys, if they get raped by a woman, and it can happen, and I hate that stereotype that women cannot rape men because men are always willing. That's not the case. But if it happens, you got to go to the police, and you have to, we have to also advocate for honesty. If you have a grudge or something, you can't just go around making these type of claims. Again, men or women, because these are allegations that can seriously destroy a life, a family, and a community in one sentence.
Yeah, and it's actually I was doing some research on that because the sexual assault is a horrible thing, but it some of the top victims are children and those boys and girls. And then another area that's completely vulnerable to rape apparently is gay culture and gay men, young gay men. They're I shouldn't say culture, it's orientation, whatever. They there's there's just as many young gay men out there that are being sexually abused and assaulted, and it's going unreported for the exact same reasons. But yeah, no, I fully agree with you. Men can be, it happens in I think it's looked at a little differently because of the science of man and woman and how sex works. But yes, men can be drugged and horrible things are not even probably just as well as women. So I really think that it shouldn't even be looked at as a man. Like it's a lot of times it's addressed as a problem, a men problem, but I really think it's just a people problem. Like yes, the
Absolutely.
numbers might show that it's men, but if we don't fix people in general and in every area, it's never going to go away.
Absolutely, man. It's one of those things where, it can become really divisive, men, women, straight, gay, black, white. Statistics are out there, and statistics are out there for a reason, I guess. But at the end of the day, we're all people. We all share this planet. We're all put here for a reason, and we have to strip it down to the bare minimum of it's person attacking person. And at the end of the day, I don't care if you're a man, woman, black, white, straight, gay, whatever. If you're being assaulted and you're being attacked, you need to take that to the police and bring that to the light right away, without a
Yeah,
doubt.
I fully agree. And I think on that note, man, that's a good segue to get back to our lives tonight. I know you're Christmas wrapping, and I probably should do some of the same. But as I said, I just stuffed my gifts in gift bags now.
Man, if I could talk the wife into doing it'd be we'd have 50 bags in that living room right now, man. I tell you
I think that's
what.
one good great part about being single. The only great part, maybe. Is I just do what I want, but
I
man,
get to do whatever she wants, so I mean, it's happy wife, happy life, right?
there you go. That's what they say, right? But it sounds like you got a great one there, and you guys have a great life going and a great fam bam situation. So that's awesome.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Right, brother. We'll talk again in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Get ready for the holidays and get ready to rock out 2018, man.
Yes,
Big things
sir.
out on
Talk
the
soon.
horizon.
Next up is a conversation I had with a guy named Hector Lorenzo, and he runs a company called Crypto Dads that you can find on Instagram. That's CryptoDads, Crypto Dads. He's basically a guy that took himself from average middle class to definitely in the upper middle class, working with cryptocurrencies and in all sorts of ways. And this is kind of the hot trending buzzword right now is cryptocurrencies, and there's a lot of ICOs coming out, and if you pay attention to them, it's bizarre, some of them. But it's interesting to get details on how people are actually investing in them or making money. So let's jump into that conversation and roll with it.
So there's many ways, right? We have basically two types of investors or people who buy, right? We have the hodlers or the people who hold Bitcoin, which basically relies on the fact that Bitcoin is an appreciating asset, okay? So as you know, Bitcoin has like 23 million, 21, I'm sorry, 21 million, I believe the number is. I'm sorry, I deal with so many different cryptocurrencies that I don't know the exact number, but it's somewhere around 21 million total ever going to be produced. And due to that, it is an appreciating asset. As time goes by, the price will go up, right? And add to that the US dollar depreciating or any other regular backed economy based fiat currency, then your price will go even higher faster, right? So you could buy Bitcoin today and check it in a couple of weeks, and the odds are it isn't going to be higher. Not a lot, but it'll be higher, maybe 10%. You know what I mean?
Yeah, makes sense.
And then you have the people who are the investors, which buy Bitcoin, and then they look into projects inside the blockchain, right? Because inside the blockchain, there's a phenomenon called the ICO, initial coin investment, initial coin offerings. And inside of that, basically anybody who has an idea, let's say I want to create a company to sell wallets, I could create a currency, right? Let's call it the wallet currency. And then with that, basically crowdfund my company with a tangible product. Sort of like a stock, but totally unregulated in a way.
Okay. Yeah, because I
so that's see, one way, right?
ICOs, those are coming out all the time. Like, there's all these, like, yeah, I think I even saw one. There's, like, a Jewish currency, cryptocurrency coming out.
Kosher or something like that. Ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah.
And we have, look, that's the thing. The problem with the ICOs is it is breeding ground for scams. It is breeding ground for all sorts of shady stuff. Like, because anybody could say, look, I have this crazy idea. We're going to do this, and it's going to make us millions. And, you know, you're like, oh, well, it's 50 cents per coin. I'm going to buy some. And then it never makes money because 90% of them don't make money. Okay? Mm. There's particular kinds of ones that are making money. I think there has been one under NEO. NEO is a coin. It's basically an Ethereum clone in China. I don't remember the name, but that one made about 4 times investment right off the bat. And currently the ones I'm doing are lending platform-based. So lending platforms, it's like a hedge fund, kind of. Like, you give them your money, and they basically invest it for you, and then they pay you a return daily. But their coin usually starts about 80 cents, and right off the bat, it goes to $4 to $5 most of the time. So right there, that's really nice. Like,
yeah, that's
quick. Yeah. But that's what I've been doing that, but it's because it's a hot market right now. So pretty much they're all pretty much giving you 4 to 5 times return, even as high as 35 times return if you hold it enough time, which is amazing. I mean, it's unheard of, right?
Yeah.
That's not going to be the case for much longer. If you're going to invest in an ICO, you got to read the white paper. You got to read the roadmap. You got to look and make sure who the team is, where they're located, you know, look at their background, make sure that you're not getting scammed. It's all really risky, but hey, high risk, high reward. So that's... Yeah. That's how I made my money so far.
Interesting. Yeah, that's crazy. So let's jump. Yeah, what do you do, and how, you know, if someone wants to get into this, how can you help them and use your services and get at you?
So I do a number of things, right? I started CryptoDads LLC as a company to provide support for mining, people who wanted to start their own farms. Let's say you have a computer and you're like, all right, how do I make my computer mine cryptocurrency so I could just see how this thing works, right? So I would be able to help people through direct message or any sort of way they could contact me via email or whatever. I could get them up and running. Most of the time, I just answer a bunch of basic questions for them. But I also have big farms that come to me and say, hey, you know, I have 50 machines. They're running at 24 mega hashes right now. Can you make them run faster? And we do a series of things. If you have Ethereum miners, which are GPU-based, we can more than likely modify like their firmware, their BIOS on the cards to make them run about 10-20% faster, consume less power, and basically we tune them. So that's how my company started, as a support and tuning services. From there, I moved into a little bit of investing and pretty much overall anything crypto-related, anything they need, you know. I answer questions. I do consulting. Like, you want to build a farm and you have no idea what a farm is supposed to look like, well, you call me and I'll give you a basic layout. I'll walk you through what you're going to need, what your walls are going to be. Like, you're going to need a lot of power. You're going to need a lot of ventilation. You're going to need high ceilings. Yeah. And that's basically what my company does.
Sounds like a grow up, man.
Pretty much. I mean, we do everything related to cryptocurrency at this time. But most of what I do is basically just educate people. And most of what I do is free, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I do have some big, like, contracts that, that have hired me to build, you know, a 300 miner farm or 500 miner farms or like, actually I'm working on a project right now to help design an ICO. And all of that is just from the experience that people have seen me go through. And I have a group of like 200 people who are actively looking for new ICOs to invest in. And we all look at all the backgrounds and we just determine which ones are going to be the lowest risk and the highest returns and just go all in it, into it. So that's what my company is.
That's awesome. Very cool, man. I appreciate the call and all the knowledge. This has been something I wanted to talk about for quite some time now. So, yeah, I'll make sure when we I post it out, there'll be a lot of tagging going on, so you'll see all that pop up, and hopefully we'll send some guys your way.
Yeah, if you want to do any more in-depth with me, anything else, you know, we'll figure it out. Or if you personally have any questions or anything I can help you with, you know, just let me know. I try to be as available as possible. I know lately it hasn't been the case just because market has been crazy. I mean, ever since we passed $10,000 on Bitcoin, everybody who knows me personally and like friends from high school are like, hey, how do I do this thing? Like, what is Bitcoin? Like, have you made any money? Is it a good investment? And I tell them all the same thing. Look, put in whatever you're able to lose. Meaning if you have $1,000 that you wouldn't mind, like you wouldn't miss if they go away, put them in. More than likely, you'll make money. But if you don't, it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's risky. It is.
Yeah.
Me personally, I started with 3,000, and I mean, I've made over 100 in just this year alone. So I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things coming in the future. There's a few regulations that we've gotten a lot of unwanted attention from the government. I don't know how that's going to end up. So it's always worrisome to see where we're going. Bitcoin is a great technology, and it's definitely going to be appreciating, and it's going to be around for a long time. But is it going to be useful in our daily lives is the question. Is it going to keep us appreciating like it is, or is the government going to figure out a way to shut it down? That is why I can't answer if it's a good investment or not. For me, it is. For me, I actually live off of it right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, like I was at a workshop a few weeks ago, on like some psychology type stuff, and the professor that was there was talking about like, well, what if one day somebody creates a supercomputer that can surpass the limit or something, and then it all just crashes? But it sounds like the infrastructure in the background and how this is all set up, that's actually not possible.
It is. Okay, so what he's talking about is a computer that's able to mine all the cryptocurrency that's left, and then just basically have no reward for the miners, right? Because the miners are what runs Bitcoin. Bitcoin transactions are run through the mining people, and they get paid through the transaction fee and the block fee, right? The thing is, all of it has an algorithm. The more people mining it, the harder it is. So even if you create a supercomputer that technically or theoretically is able to mine it all in 10 seconds, the moment you plug it in, that difficulty is going to rise like 20-fold, 30-fold, and you're not going to be able to do it. So, pretty much everything has been thought out here.
Cool.
I mean, it's a hell of a secure network. It is amazing. And what makes Bitcoin valuable, it's not Bitcoin as a coin, but the inability to duplicate something digitally. Because in a computer, you could duplicate any file. And Bitcoin is not different from any file. But the technology behind it, specifically the blockchain, is what allows it to be unique. You cannot duplicate that file. It is the one thing you can never duplicate in a digital environment. And that's why it's worth so much.
Who invented this thing, man? Stephen Hawking or something? Like this isn't
That is the question. Who invented this thing? I mean, we don't know. People say, you know, I've heard crazy things like Elon Musk to like the CIA to like, I don't know. I've heard some crazy stories, you know. People say he's dead. People think he's Nick Szabo. I don't know. Yihan Wu. 100 names. I've heard 100 names.
Yeah, but
I have no idea who did it, but it's amazing work.
Yeah. What's great is that it's an opportunity right now, right? So
it is. It is the biggest distribution of wealth we've seen in years. I mean, it's made many millionaires and some billionaires. I mean, I was an okay guy, you know, middle income kind of thing. I'm the CEO of a company that I created out of thin air, and I just bought a McLaren last week. So it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Well, I appreciate the call, and I'll hopefully send some potential people your way to get some information. But
anything. Thank you.
So that does it for episode 004 of the We Are Better Men podcast. You can visit www.wearebettermen.com to hear our previous episodes, and we're also putting the interviews on there now. So if you're checking out the podcast because you specifically see an interview you're interested in hearing and that's all you want to hear, you can go there and listen to those. But of course, we prefer it if you listen to the entire thing, because obviously we drop so much wisdom. But that's it. Peace.